So if you would, turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 8. We'll read two verses, verses 31 and 32, and I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. Thank you all so much for standing. And it reads as thus. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let me read that again. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, he wasn't talking to the naysayers or the haters, "You are truly my disciples, you are my followers, if you remain faithful to my teachings." That's the litmus test. "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I'll speak from the subject for just the next few moments, the pursuit of freedom. The pursuit of freedom. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The pursuit of freedom. Freedom is such a powerful word. It's kind of funny when you think about it, when you breathe and you release the word, it just comes out naturally. Freedom. That freedom is the great desire of every human heart. That every human heart yearns for freedom, just like we yearn for love and security. Throughout the ages, people have laid down their lives for the cause of freedom. Even right now, there are people on battlefields spilling their blood for the cause of freedom. Again, freedom is the great desire of the human heart. There were Hebrew people that were held captive in Egyptian slavery that yearned for freedom. There were Jews that were in Babylonian captivity that yearned for freedom. There were pilgrims that came to this land from Europe because they desired freedom from British oppression. The black slaves in America that desired freedom. Dr. Martin Luther King desired freedom for all people, as evidenced from his "I Have a Dream" speech. A man from India by the name of Mahatma Gandhi desired freedom for all people. A South African president by the name of Nelson Mandela desired freedom for his people. And in that old Negro spiritual, all God's children just want to be free. It's funny, you know, that freedom is, it's sought after. It's a well sought after commodity, but yet it's also oftentimes elusive. When we don't have it, we want it. When we do have it, we can oftentimes devalue it and take it for granted. We thank God for the freedoms that we have here in America today. But the question at heart still, what's freedom? I think it's a mighty good question to ask today, not simply because we're celebrating the 4th of July or Independence Day, which commemorates the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and we know its preamble, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Amongst those are life and liberty, of freedom and the pursuit of happiness. What an ideal, but it's an ideal that has yet to be actualized or to be realized in America today. It's also a question to be raised because, y'all, we live in times when freedom, and by freedom I mean the power of choice to make responsible decisions for oneself and one's future, and that of others, y'all, it's plumb going off the rails. As long as a train is on the tracks, it can travel across the United States. But once that train is off the rails, it can no longer have forward mobility. We got up this morning, y'all, and we got in our automobiles and we drove here. Did you notice this morning that the only thing that kept you separated from you and the car next to you was just a dotted line or a solid line. That was it. You cross that line and it's a disaster. It's a wreck. It could be a tragedy. That in our society today, freedom is plumb off the rails. People decide they're changing lanes right now. We're erasing lanes that should be there. That there's a difference between cultural and world freedom and biblical freedom. The biblical idea of freedom is not necessarily the same as the world's idea of freedom. Our culture and our world says this: do what you want, when you want, how you want to do it. You know, whatever you want to do, you can do that. But that's not biblical freedom according to our text for today. Is freedom really all about having your own choices? Is it just about the lack of coercion and constraint? Is it being able to do whatever you want when you want to do it? So to understand true freedom, I think the best place for us to look, y'all, is to look to the word of God. So in our text for today, Jesus is making his second of seven great I am statements found in the book of John. Jesus states to those that are listening to him, he says, I am the light of the world. And to Jews, this light was an ideal that meant truth and knowledge. And so Jesus shares, he dares to confess, though, to profess that he is the ultimate light. He's the ultimate truth. He's the ultimate beginning and ending of all knowledge. He's the only source of spiritual truth. And so this sets a debate then between Jesus and those that were listening. And in that crowd of listening were self-righteous religious leaders. And so they said, hold up, you talk about being free? Hold up, who do you think you are? You're talking like you're all of that in a bag of chips. And actually he's God, and he was God, and always will be God. They said, listen, we're free, that we are Jews, and we're free by genealogy. Because we are the descendants of Abraham, the great Abraham. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That Jesus said, hold up. Y'all descendants of Abraham? Mm-hmm. Abraham was obedient to God. Right. And it seems like if you're saying you're children of Abraham, maybe you would be obedient followers as well. But no. Let's set the record straight. Yeah. That you are not the children of Abraham. In fact, I want to tell you, the children of the devil. Booyah, there it was. Because they didn't want to know God. They really didn't want to follow God. They wanted to follow their rituals in their own ways. What they did not understand is they were not free. That they were actually enslaved to sin. So many people are like the Pharisees. And if we were honest, all of us were like the Pharisees at one time. Anybody besides me growing up, got to a point in your life where you thought you knew it all? Come on, Minister Deal. There couldn't nobody tell you nothing. That you had it all together. Come on. Anybody remember when you were a teenager and you came into your own enlightenment and you felt like your parents were dumb as rocks? I'm for real. They just didn't know nothing. Because you knew it all. You had it all together. Only to get to a place in your life to find out that you were the one that was dumb as rocks. You were blind. But there's so many people that are like the Pharisees, that they think they know. And they think they're free. And they're really walking in darkness. They're walking freely. They can walk about and do the things that they want to do each and every day. But they're led astray and held captive by sin and the devil. So in the text, Jesus shows us some things about what it means to really be free. Because I want you to understand, listen, the nation can give us freedoms. They can legislate freedoms. They can take away freedoms. We can have economic freedom, financial freedom, all these forms of freedom. But you're never truly free until Jesus sets you free. Because you're never really free until you are spiritually free. And so again, Jesus shows us. He shows us what it means to be free. True freedom is found in Christ. True freedom is found in Jesus Christ. Don't be fooled. So Jesus shows us first that the prescription for freedom. Look at verse 31 again. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And so Jesus offers us the remedy for real freedom. He offers it to every person. But this freedom is only realized according to what Jesus says in the text. You have to believe in him. How many people believe in him today? That he is the Son of God that came and he died for your sins and for my sins. The people that believed in him. So what are the elements then of belief? I'm glad you want to know. The belief that we're talking about in the text begins with an assent to truth. And so what do I mean by believe in this assent to truth? It means coming into agreement with what God has to say about us. It means agreeing with the source of all truth. Agree with God. We have to come into agreement with God. Come into agreement with God about what? The fact that all of us have sinned and fallen short of his glory. We all have to agree that the wages of sin is death, but there's a gift from God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. There has to be an assent to truth. That we have to come into agreement with God. We have to come into agreement with his word and what the word says about us. Yeah. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 says this. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves. Yeah. And we're not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness or unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Again, it's an assent to the truth. And we're living in times where everybody's got their own truth. That there's no longer any absolute, no absolute truth. And that's a lie. I got my personal truth. You do you, and I do me. You know, we just want it the way we want it. It's amazing to me that I just think 15 and 20 and 25 years ago, how differently the world sees things today. That we got alternative facts now. The color is blue, but depending upon how you see it, it can be purple. That we have alternative facts today. But there is an absolute truth, and we must assent to that truth as it relates to the word of God. That all of us have sinned, but Jesus came to save us. It's this Jesus that we believe in. It's this Jesus we have hope in. We must assent to the truth. Also, as a part of this prescription and this remedy, there's acceptance of the truth. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Implicit in the idea of assent or agreement is that when we truly agree with the truth, we will also apply the truth. If I know the truth, I'm willing to accept it and to apply it to my life. You can't get no simpler than that. You preaching, love. You preaching. If you're preaching to yourself, you preaching. John 14, 21. I got some good scriptures, y'all. Write them down. John 14, 21. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Amen. So we can't have this Burger King relationship with Jesus. That I want to have it my way. And that's what's happening in the world around us, in America and in the world around. That's what's happening. Yeah. That I agree with the word of God. I'm okay with Jesus until it interrupts my life and what I want and what I desire. And when that happens, I'll simply erase it from the word of God, or I'll put a twist, I'll pervert it to make it say something else. Oh, you know, God love everybody. Ain't nobody going to hell. That's a lie. I said the wages of sin is death. That's what it ain't changed. 2000, it has not changed today. That we can't have a Burger King faith my way. We aren't given the chance, y'all, just to pick and choose from the scriptures what works for us and tear out the rest of it. This is not the Thomas Jefferson Bible. That's what he did, for real, though. You go back, whatever he liked in there, he kept the rest of it, he tore out of the Bible. But we can't do that. We must accept the truth of God's word. All of it. All of it, and not just some of it. Accept God's word totally. Yeah, this might be right, tight, but it's right, y'all. Because the Bible talks about this entering in at the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. My hope as your pastor is that all of us would truly be saved and know Jesus Christ and the pardon of our sins, and one day we'll reign with him. So we can't flip-flop, flim-flam, and lie to y'all. We got to tell you the truth. That there is a prescription for true and real freedom, and it only comes through Jesus Christ. And then we have to abide in the truth. In this prescription, we must abide in the truth. So future loyalty to his teachings will prove the reality of your present profession. Continuance in the word or in his teaching proves the sincerity or the insincerity of your profession. If you say, listen, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. You've got to abide in that. You've got to live in that. You've got to walk in that. You've got to stay in that. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that some days are better than other days. That some days, y'all, listen, we feel holy and all of that. But there are other days, y'all, let's just be honest. We're just not there that day. We just said accept that with one another. It's just like that sometimes. But by and large, we must abide in the truth of God's word. We abide in the fact that Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins. He rose from the dead 3 days later with all power. We abide in the truth that he is our Lord and our Savior. And we abide in his word. We got to stay there and live there. This is God's truth that we must retain and walk in. And so we have to receive the truth. We have to love the truth. We have to keep the truth. We have to walk in the truth. So Jesus gives us the prescription for true freedom. But he also shows us the person of freedom. And you will know the truth. And you will know the truth. The word truth means, it's the word gnosko. It means to truly understand. To know that you know that you know. Not just a head knowledge, but it's a heart knowledge. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be truly free. Just like Jesus was sharing with the religious leaders of the day. True freedom is not about a genealogy. It's not about what you do or where you come from or how much money you have or how much success you have. That true freedom only comes through a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Not Confucius, not Buddha, not some other religion, not some other worldview, only through Jesus Christ. Okay, in essence, truth is a person. John 14:6 says this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and come on, y'all. Yeah. That he's alive. Yeah, we had this phrase in the world right now, man. You the truth. You the truth. You know, if you're good at where you man, you true. LeBron James, man, he the truth, man. The barbecue, man, that's the truth, man. But let me tell y'all something today. When it comes to being free, Jesus is the truth, y'all. And there is no other truth. And there is no other way. There is no other way to eternal life other than through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That he is the person of freedom. And truth in the Bible literally means to not forget. Knowing the truth means to not forget. Reminded of this story, there were two middle-aged couples and they were enjoying each other in friendly conversation. One man said to the other man, he said, Fred, so how was the memory clinic you went to last month? Outstanding, Fred replied. They taught us all these latest psychological techniques, y'all, visualization and associating stuff so we can remember stuff. Man, it was great. I haven't had a problem since. The other guy said, sounds good, man. Tell me, what's the name of that clinic? Fred went blank. Then a smile came across his face. He said, now what do you call that flower with the long stem and the thorns on it? The other guy said, you mean a rose? Yeah, that's right, that's right. He turned to his wife and said, hey, Rose, what was the name of that memory clinic? When it comes to the person of our freedom, we must not forget that Jesus is the truth, that he is the truth, and don't forget it. Listen, when life comes at you and life comes at you hard, don't forget that Jesus is the way to your freedom. He's the person of truth. That you can't find it in a pill. You can't find it in a bottle. You can't snort freedom. You can't sleep freedom. That freedom is found in Jesus Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's where we're going, y'all. But listen, we're talking about the person of freedom. That he is the truth proclaimed. 1 John chapter 1. We have heard what you have seen. We have heard what we've seen with our own eyes. What we have looked upon and touched with our own hands. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim. We announce the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we disclose. John was saying, listen, we walk with Jesus. We rode with him. We heard him preach. We saw him heal. And that's the Jesus that we proclaim. That's the Jesus that we preach. He's the truth. The gospel is not about how much money is in your pocket. The gospel is not about laying on the couch and let me soothe all your ill wills and everything that you're going through. That the gospel is not about pop psychology. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel that we proclaim. And he's also the truth personified. I love this. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, so the word became human. It made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory. The glory of the Father's one and only Son. That while we were yet in sin, God already had a plan for us. That God came down and he put on human flesh and he walked amongst us. Yeah. And he healed those who were sick. He raised the dead. He went to Calvary's cross. But he was the truth personified. Yeah. Jesus said, if you want to know who the Father is, he said, look at me.
That's right.
That he was the truth personified. But he also must be the truth perceived. That we have to understand and know that he's the truth. How do we do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. So these disciples have to go out and they have to proclaim this gospel about Jesus Christ. But God gave them his Holy Spirit that they would be filled with his Spirit and proclaim this gospel. But every hearer had to perceive this truth too. If you are a born-again believer, the way you perceive this truth is not of your own doing. It's by way of the Holy Spirit that unctioned your heart. To believe the truth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and my Lord and Savior.
Right.
So Jesus, he is the truth. He's the person of freedom. And Jesus is also the prescription for freedom. But then lastly, and we're almost done with this, that Jesus is the promise of freedom.
Amen.
And you will know the truth. The promise is the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
Someone said it well. I like the way he said it. He said, he, Jesus, is the freeman whom the truth makes free, whom the truth makes free, and all are slaves beside. You know, there are many paradoxes in Scripture, things that may not make sense to us, that they just simply don't go together. Jesus told the religious leaders that they thought they were free. But in fact, they were slaves to sin. But to be free, on the other hand, still means to be a slave, but it means to be a slave to righteousness. I know we don't like to hear that word slave, doulos. And so sometimes we water it down with the word servant. But listen, if you are a born-again believer, you're no longer enslaved to sin. That's not where you are. That's not where you live. But you're still a slave to righteousness, which means being a slave to Jesus Christ, that we are servants of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, I'd rather be a slave to God, to be my master, who will not oppress me and put his knee on my neck and put me down, than to be a slave to the world. Because the world will oppress you and put you down and keep you down. With its oppressive rules in its sinful system. So we talk about the promise of freedom. Believing Jesus means that we have the promise We got the promise of freedom, y'all.
Yeah.
And freedom from what? I'm glad you want to know. Three things. We're free from the penalty of sin. Again, all the sin had fallen short of the glory of God that all of us deserve. We deserve death. That was the penalty. And I like the way someone else put it when they said, there's a place called the land of beginning again. And it is the place that Jesus has bought and paid for with his own life's blood. And you and I have a title plot when you believe on him. When you do, you will be freed from the guilt and shame of your sins. You will no longer be under the penalty of sin, but you will have the peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. The penalty is death, but the gift, God, good God Almighty, is life. I'm so glad for the gift today. Anybody with me right now? Are you glad for the gift? Are you glad for the gift that Jesus gives you and me? That there's the penalty of sin. Then we're also free from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Oh, that was so good. I need to say that again. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, y'all. Thank God. Once we were slaves to sin, but by the power of God through his son, Jesus Christ, we have been set free. That we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're slaves to righteousness. Listen, there's a famed psychiatrist by the name of Carl Menninger that he once said that if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them will walk out of the hospital whole. How many people hold on to their guilt and their shame of their past? And psychologically, they're messed up. Emotionally, they're messed up because of what they did yesterday. But the good thing about Jesus Christ, that whatever we did yesterday, today, or even tomorrow, listen, we've been set free. We have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're free from the power of sin. We don't have to do it. I think Mr. Jan mentioned that you don't have to sin. We have the power not to sin. Will we be perfect? No. Will we always get it right? No. But the reality is, according to Scripture, we have the power. And then lastly, that we're free from the presence of sin. You got real quiet right there. Here's what I said, hold up, wait a minute, and make that plain. Hold up, wait a minute, woo-woo. The presence of sin? I look around me and I see sin everywhere. I see injustice, bigotry, and hatred. I see poor people being abused, misused, and taken advantage of. I see the effects of sin. I see earthquakes and tragedy and heartache and pain and cancer and all of this stuff. What do you mean free from the presence of sin? Listen, it may not be right now, but y'all, the good news is one day. One day it's going to happen. So somebody may be asking, is there ever going to come a time when I don't have any more heartache, any more pain and stuff I'm going through? The answer to that is yes, emphatically yes. And for all those who believe on Jesus, there's a place where there'll be no more pain, no more heartache, no more bills, no more complaining, no more whining, no more arthritis, no more forgetting stuff. It'll all be done away with. And it's a place prepared for all those that accept him. And like Jesus said, those that believe, believe on me. In close, listen, true freedom and independence comes when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That he is the truth and the source of all truth. That he is the source of spiritual truth. All truth resides in him. That he is God. And if you want to know God, you must come to Jesus. No man comes to the Father but by him. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says, he that covers his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. That's what Jesus was saying. If we believe in him, if we confess him as Lord and Savior, by his grace and by his mercy, he forgives us and he saves us. That's the truth about real freedom. Max Lucado tells a story about the boy who was shooting rocks with a slingshot. Boy was not good. He could never hit a thing. One day he saw his grandmama's duck walking around in the yard, the farmyard. So he takes the slingshot, y'all. And boop, he hits the duck. Kills the duck. Takes the duck and he's afraid. This is grandmama's pet duck. Her prize duck. And so he takes the duck, y'all. He hides it in the wood pile. But only to turn around, y'all, to see that his sister was watching. They go in the house. It's time to wash dishes. And grandma says to Sally, that's his sister, Sally, go ahead and wash those dishes, girl. They said, no, Johnny. Johnny don't mind. He don't mind washing the dishes. And she whispered to him, remember the duck. So Johnny washes the dish. This goes on, y'all, for some time, for weeks on end. Listen, Johnny is washing dishes. Whether it was his duty or because of his sin, Johnny was washing dishes. Because she'd always whisper, remember the duck. One day, Johnny just got tired. He just got plumb sick and tired of this. He runs to his grandmother. He cries and confesses, Grandma, I killed your dog. His grandma said, baby, listen, I knew that. I was looking through the window when you killed my duck. I was just wondering how long would you allow Sally to hold you slave to what you did in your past. And listen, that's what I want you to know today. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You don't have to be ashamed of the ducks from your past. You've already been set free from that. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Only Jesus can make the corrupt good, the guilty innocent, the spiritually dead alive, the deceitful honest, the proud humble. He can make hood folk holy, y'all. Jesus can do it. Can somebody talk to me today that we were all yet in our sin, but Jesus came and he died for us, that he is the great emancipator and the liberator. He came to set us free from sin's past, present and future, and we can praise God that we're free. Anybody remember the song, I'm Free?
Yes.
Praise the Lord, I'm free.
Yeah.
That I'm no longer bound.
Yeah.
No more chains holding me.
Yeah.
My soul is resting. Oh, what a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're the free folk today, y'all. Y'all looking at me strange. Anybody know you've been set free by the power of God? You know what you did on yesterday, but God set you free from it today. By his precious blood, we are free. We're free. We're free. We're free. And we can walk in that freedom. That you don't have to pursue freedom anywhere else through any other means. Yeah, we can walk free. We have physical freedom. That some of y'all got it like that. Perhaps you're financially free. But you're never truly free until Jesus sets you spiritually free. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're free. Amen. Pray with me now. Father, thank you so much for this word. Jesus, thank you that whom you set free, that we're free truly, that we're indeed free. As we stand on the brink of Independence Day, when we think about the many freedoms that we have in this country, we are grateful for those. But it does us no good to walk around free and to die and to go in eternity separated from you, Lord. That you set us free now and forever when we believe on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Your word says that we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead, then that saves us. That we are free. We all confess that we've sinned before you, that we haven't always gotten it right. But Father, I pray right now for someone that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, that they would confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they might be free, truly, truly free. Free from the shame and the guilt of their past. Free from the secret things that nobody else knows about. But you and them, because you saw it. Free from heartache and pain of struggling, trying to be right on their own. free because we know the blood of Jesus. It saves us from sins past, present, and future. That if we confess that Jesus, believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead, then we're saved. And so may someone confess with their mouths today and believe in their hearts that they might be truly set free. God, we thank you and we praise you. That in our pursuit of freedom, that by your power, it's not that we found you, but you knew exactly where we were and you drew us by your Spirit. And for that, we are grateful. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.